Welcome to Bad News, Angry Voices from Around the World for December 2018. This month, we feature four segments. First up, you'll be hearing an interview by comrades at Chernolutnia from Ljubljana, Slovenia, about Rote Hilfe, the anti-repression network based in Germany. The guests will speak about the group's history and about how Rote Hilfe provides legal and financial support to activists in Germany today. Recently, the network has been supporting prisoners from the Hamburg G20 protests, and now the anti-repression group itself is facing attack from the German federal government for this reason. You can find out more about Rote Hilfe at rote-hilfe.de for ways that you can support them. The website's in German, but you can reach them via their contacts there for ways to help in English. Following that, we'll be sharing audio from Radio Caruf from occupied Mapuche territory in the so-called Chile, as they report on the murder of Camilo Catrillanca, a Mapuche activist killed by the Chilean militarized police unit known as the Jungle Commandos. Camilo was an activist from a line of ancestral leadership of the Mapuche, and his killing has brought about protests all around so-called Chile. Next up, Dissident Island shares some criticism about protests coordinated by Extinction Action in the UK and updates from far-right mobilizations concerning UKIP, shitcake Tommy Robinson, and anti-fascist protests to a pro-Brexit demo on December 9th. Finally, your ears will be delighted by A Radio Berlin's report on the December 7th protest by the Federation of German-Speaking Anarchists against the repressive rise to power of the reactionary leader Bolsonaro in Brazil, with sounds and impressions from demos outside the Brazilian consulates in Dusseldorf and Frankfurt, Germany.
So we will talk a bit about contemporary criminalization of Rote Hilfe. We are here with Igor from Rote Hilfe, our comrade. And can you shortly explain us what is Rote Hilfe, what it's doing, and maybe just a short history introduction?
Okay, let's start with the history. Rote Hilfe Germany was founded in 1924 as one of the 13th sections of Rote Hilfe International. And at this time, it supported revolutionary workers independent of their political ideology. And despite the fact it was related strictly to the Communist Party, even anarchists were members. And at the top time, it had like more than 500,000 members in Germany. And in 1933, the Nazi regime just forbid Rote Hilfe, as expected. But they still continued work even in the Second World War as an underground group. Then now in the late 60s and early 70s, a movement of several Rote and Black Hilfe groups was founded or was formed itself. They were supporting at this time the students' movement, which faced like huge repressions, and also like the more radical people that were part of the city guerrilla, like Movement Second June or RAF. Then in 1974, those bunch of groups became to one organization again, which was called Rote Hilfe Deutschland at this time. And this also orientated on the one that was founded in 1924. But through the development and decline of like also communist groups at this time, Rote Hilfe needed to be reformed back away from the relation to the communist parties at this time or groups, to Rote Hilfe e.V., which is in 1986. So now it became an organization which only supports political activists which are persecuted by the state for their political actions, also independent of their political ideologies. So Rote Hilfe now has changed to a strictly anti-repression organization, which doesn't do any general political statements and doesn't consider itself anarchist or communist, whatever. At the moment, so what we're doing at the moment is like that we do some legal counseling, giving legal advices in a sense, support morally and support financially if it's necessary. So if any repression costs exist, we're going to try to help the actors to cover them to a certain extent.
So can you explain us a bit more, like how is it structured, the whole organization, and maybe how many working groups it has and how it works?
So at the moment it's with an association, so really formal structure that has at the moment 9,500 members, which are partly organized in 52 local groups that are active in whole Germany, so in different cities in this case. So local groups, they do like work autonomously on their local topics. For example, like do they the media, like representation of the organization, the local ones, prisoner support, legal counseling, and also support of demonstrations, etc. What comes for and for more bigger financial requests, they're going to address the executive committee, which is managing the federal fund, and that fund's income consists of member fees and donations. So, for example, last year we spent like 350,000 on cases of single activists in order to cover their repression costs.
Okay, so which are the cases which you're working on now?
Yeah, I mean, the most prominent case has to do with the G20, for example. In the beginning of the protest, or during protests, we support the legal team there, which was doing the emergency call service for activists that are imprisoned, and we also supported like the prisoners, like short time and longer time prisoners. Furthermore, we also started a successful campaign to raise money in order to cover the repression costs, because we just know that there are like 7,000 cases opened, which may occur, may not occur, we don't know at the moment. No, still it's like that they're I think four remaining prisoners, and three of them will face a current procedure in the 18th, that will start in the 18th of December. So going to be like in 1.5 weeks. And this procedure was announced to be 30 days long. Now it's been followed by court and stuff. They're going to be like a ridiculous process there, where they're just going to invite every single owner of a car that got burnt down to tell them their misery at the loss. And at the moment, the case, it's like that they're really not having any like clear evidence or whatever for the rest of people that would like justify their arrest and anything. But they charge tremendously at the moment, like delegations are tremendously.
So we come on today, we heard this news that the government is want to criminalize and forbid Rote Hilfe as an organization. What is going on with this?
Yeah, I mean, mainly they accuse of being a supporter of militant activists and like an enemy of the German constitution. This is, I think, the most basic thing they have, because we don't know much more, because the Ministry of Interior Politics never put any further statement than like the magazine Focus published, actually. We view us as an organization that helps left activists of getting a fair criminal procedure, if that is even possible. Because we know that courts usually today are defending the interests of the proprietors of this word, or the proprietors of like means of production, anything else. And we also just do advise that we do not more than also a good lawyer would advise to not cooperate with like the repression organs, especially with the police in the case, because that usually means more danger for actually the charged activists. And this is just a basic advice that is usually given. And we also want to continue political activists, the legit political protest, since capitalism needs more than just a democratic elected corrective.
So for the finish, can you just tell us where we can follow the information, what is happening with Rote Hilfe, and how people can actually support you?
Information you can find on our webpage, rote-hilfe.de. But this is only in German, so if you're a non-German speaker, you could also write a message to Bundesvorstand at rotemishilfe.de. Yeah, support you can ask in the way that you just show some solidarity, maybe declare it, like write down some text and we could use and publish.
Hi comrades, we are from Radio Curruf in the Chilean region. This is our December report about Camilo Catrillanca's case, yet another Mapuche killed by the Chilean police. This past November 14th at around 5 p.m. in Arcilla, a town located in the middle of Hualmapu, Mapuche territory dominated by the Chilean state, another Mapuche was killed by the Chilean police. Camilo Catrillanca, who was working in the fields, was riding a tractor when the militarized police burst in without any warrants, along with dozens of policemen, armored vehicles, helicopters, and shooting at point-blank range without provocation or apparent reason. One of the shots mortally wounded him, and as his body fell down, a 15-year-old boy who was with them witnessed it all. The teenager was seized and beaten down by the police. His testimony has been critical in revealing the police's speech, full of lies, incoherences, and nonsenses, which has been unscrupulously spread by the mass media. On one side, there's the theory behind the shutout, the so-called Camilo's criminal record, and the excuse of a car theft near the place of murder were falling to pieces as the hour passed by. On the other side, the camera's memory cards were destroyed by the ones held responsible in order to hide all the evidence from their acts. Marcelo Catrillanca, father of the Mapuche killed, declared to the press. As I said before, my son was working in a tractor of the community. Therefore, and once again, it comes to show that the police elaborate hoax situations just like what happened with the Huracán case, and for which they are under investigation. Mr. Chadwick, Minister of Internal Affairs, has to understand that a massacre took place here. My son was killed from the back and attacked at point blank. We are not satisfied with the decisions taken. Protests in Hualmapu and in the main cities of Chile have taken place after Camilo's murder. These protests forced the government to take action. An example was the destitution and prosecution of the policemen involved, the colonels and the general's resignation, both held responsible of this operation, as well as the resignation of the foreman of the Araucanía region, the greatest representative from the region before the government. Camilo Catrillanca was 24 years old and he was the grandson of the Mapuche Lonco in the Temocuicui community, ancestral authority for the Mapuche people. Camilo was a part of the people's resistance. In 2011, he participated in his high school's protests demanding intercultural education, one that would recognize the Mapuche culture. In 2016, this very same high school was turned into a police quarter, the institution that ended up killing him. The people in Temocuicui is especially devastated by the repression from the state, as it promotes forestal monoculture and invades areas that are part of a long historical recuperation of the ancestral lands of the Mapuche.
These are the angry
voices of Dissident Island
Radio from London.
Back in the UK!
Hello everyone and welcome to December's edition of Bad News from Dissident Island Radio in London. This month we'll be taking a look at two mobilisations that have taken place on the streets of London in recent weeks. Firstly, beginning in early November, a series of protests began in central London aimed at getting the government to act on a recent international warnings about climate change, marking the beginning of the Extinction Rebellion movement in the UK. A coordinated plan of action was put into place over the course of a two-week period, culminating in a large demonstration on Saturday, November the 17th, during which five of the main bridges across the River Thames were blocked for the afternoon by several thousand protesters. On this day alone, 85 protesters were arrested for obstruction of the highway. Despite sending a strong message to the government about issues around climate change, in a more significant way than we've seen in London for a number of years, there were also questions about the way these protests were organised. Many of the Extinction Rebellion events across the period were publicised via online platform Rising Up, a website whereby participants sign up to take part in proposed actions as part of a democratic poll, much like the way in which crowdfunding campaigns work, but here consisting of numbers of participants rather than money. If this process didn't already present concerns around the anonymity of those taking part, the fact that the lead representatives of the movement were liaising with police made sure of that. Unusual methods were put into place whereby the plans of the protesters were submitted before the event, as well as representatives all but encouraging the police to make as many arrests as possible.
A few weeks later, on Sunday the 9th, London saw yet another mobilisation of the far right, not dissimilar to other demonstrations that have taken place with regularity throughout 2018. As has been the case in the UK for the last 2.5 years now, the mainstream media have largely been focusing on the government's Brexit negotiations day in, day out, to the point where things are progressively bearing a resemblance to the film Groundhog Day. Various ambiguous terminologies are often being coined by the media, such as backstop, regulatory alignment, no deal, cliff edge, Canada plus plus plus, and more, at times leaving the public bewildered and adding to an overall sense of confusion. Although shows of support for the far right have been taking place under a variety of guises in central London in recent times, such as the pro-President Trump march, other pro-Brexit marches, or the Democratic Football Lads Alliance, there has also been an underlying theme of support for hate preacher and former English Defence League leader Stephen Yaxley Lennon, also known as Tommy Robinson. Having received a surge in support earlier in the year whilst in prison for contempt of court offences, the spotlight has once again turned to Robinson in recent weeks following his appointment as advisor to the UK Independence Party, who have dropped off the political map in recent times following their role in the anti-EU campaign prior to the Brexit referendum in 2016. Robinson also hit the news in early December amid a story of racial violence from Huddersfield in the north of England, in which a 16-year-old from Syria who had recently claimed asylum in the UK was brutally attacked in a school playground by an English kid. The video of the attack went viral on the internet. Robinson weighed in on the subject on social media, stating his support for the attacker before having to climb down tail between legs after his allegations on the matter were proven to be false. On Sunday, December the 9th, an alliance of far-right groups organised a Brexit Means Exit rally in central London, beginning near Hyde Park Corner and terminating at Downing Street, with a counter-Antifa demonstration taking a similar route through town from the BBC headquarters, also towards Downing Street. A large police presence was in place on both demonstrations, with reports suggesting a slightly bigger police presence on the Antifa route than on the fascist one. Although similar, the two routes were kept largely separated as the fascist march around the edge of Buckingham Palace and the Royal Quarter of central London, meaning that the distance was maintained from the Antifa march as it headed through Piccadilly Circus. Some skirmishes were reported around the edges of the two demos, with a total of 3 arrests on the day. Reports suggest that the fascists were outnumbered something like 10,000 to 3,000 when the two demos were compared. Strangely, as the two demonstrations descended on Whitehall, the road on which many of the UK government institutions are situated, both sides had stages in place which backed onto one another with a no man's land in between. Due to having their parade facilitated by the state, the Union Jack Wilden contingent were able to complete their plans for the day before heading back out of central London. Although this day did represent a significant mobilisation on their part, despite the fact they were outnumbered, in the context of the Brexit proceedings having reached the point at which it is now increasingly possible that Britain will not leave the EU, these bunch of racists may well be hitting the streets again soon. That's all from us for this month. See you again in 2019.
Hey! nunca más, Elenao. Dictadura nunca más, Elenao. Dictadura nunca más, Elenao.
December 7, 2018, Day of Action of the Federation of German-Speaking Anarchists, FDA, in solidarity with the social movements in Brazil and against the looming fascism after the election of Bolsonaro. Several small rallies have been organized in Frankfurt, Düsseldorf and Stuttgart in front of Brazilian consulates or embassies in order to draw attention to this topic. The following are audio impressions from Frankfurt and Düsseldorf.
It's important that we gather here today, as it's so often the case, to take to the streets and march against the shift to the right. And today, especially because of the coming into power of the fascist Bolsonaro in Brazil.
Wegen der Machtübernahme des Faschisten Bolsonaro in Brasilien.
Schlechtes Wetter, harte Zeiten, gegen Bolsonaro fighten. Schlechtes Wetter, harte Zeiten, gegen Bolsonaro fighten.
Wir sind heute hier, um unsere Stimmen zu erheben gegen den Faschismus in Brasilien und überall in der Welt.
We're here today to raise our voices against fascism in Brazil and all over the world. We're in solidarity with the social movements in Brazil, which have to fear for their human rights after the election of the fascist Jair Bolsonaro. And they also have to fear for their lives. Bolsonaro is against rights for women, black people, indigenous people and LGBTIA. He is promising that people who are violent against people who have a different political opinion will not be punished. No one is free as long as all are not free. Therefore, we show our resistance today against fascist forces in Brazil and all over the world. And we also show our comrades in Brazil that their protest is being heard, that we stand together in the fight against fascism and for a world where freedom is more than just a phrase. Contra a ascenso fascista no Brasil e no mundo. Against fascism in Brazil and all over the world.
In Brasil und überall in der Welt. Siamo tutti antifascisti!
In Düsseldorf, the cops allowed themselves a tremendous juridical force as they tried to stop a comrade from registering the demonstration. And ultimately failing in this attempt. At the rally itself, it was all about content.
We are amidst a global process of deepening authoritarianism, of a societal backlash against rights and freedoms for which we have fought so hard for decades. The situation in Brazil is just a very strong symptom of this development.
Ditadura nunca más, ele não! Ditadura nunca más, ele não!
Warum so wenige sind, das hat zwei Gründe.
Why are we just a few here? There are two reasons. Many say, well, Brazil is on the other side of the globe. What does it have to do with us? Others have learned in our democratic dictatorship that it's far more comfortable when others do the thinking for you. I have a very different perspective. I do not consider myself this geopolitically created being, this national subject, this German. I consider myself a human and therefore a citizen of this planet. Just the same planet Bolsonaro wants to destroy.
Und genau diesen wird Bolsonaro zerstören. 60% des Amazonas Regenwaldes befindet sich in Brasilien.
60% of the Amazon's rainforest is located in Brazil and is now at the mercy of a man who has declared as his aim to cut down the rainforest. In order to promote the country's economy, of course. What else? A man that wants to abolish the environmental ministry and leave the Paris Climate Accords. A man that will therefore endanger the climate and put our planet at risk. And you all know what climate change means. And now, let me hear again that this has absolutely nothing to do with us. Nothing at all.
Das geht mich alles nicht an. Gar nichts. Bolsonaro ist der Wunschdiktator der Märkte.
Bolsonaro is the kind of dictator the markets desire. This or something similar to it is how Deutsche Bank put it. It is a fact that the better the markets work, the better the ruling class is off. And sadly, it's also true that Brazil is an important trade partner regarding machinery, animal feed, chemicals, biodiesel, raw materials and cars. All the pillars on which the German economy rests. These are the sectors that will see a veritable boom when the rainforest is being cut down.
After all, the developments in Latin America are not so far away as some presumed, neither economically, nor politically, nor on the human level. Therewith, we wish lots and lots of strength to those fighting in Brazil. We will be in solidarity with you now and in the future, until all authoritarianism is overcome. Down with fascism.
Have a great month and stay tuned for the next edition of Bad News by checking out our website a-radio-network.org, where you can find contact to get a hold of us. If you're an anarchist, anti-authoritarian, and anti-capitalist project and you like the values that you see up on our site, consider reaching out to one of our groups or the website to join up with the A-Radio Network. We're looking for more collaborators around the world. Thanks for listening. Thank you.